Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IRIS Business Services Limited conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Asha Gupta, EY LLP, Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Sagar. Good evening to all of you, and welcome to IRIS Business Services Company Update Call. The purpose of today's call is to discuss the proposed divestment of Tech Technology GST ASP business. To take us through the call today and to answer your questions, we have the top management of IRIS Business Services Limited, represented by Mr. K. Balachandran, Co-founder, Whole-time Director, and CEO, Ms. Deepta Rangarajan, Co-founder and Whole-time Director, Mr. Vineet Kandoi, Finance Controller, and Mr. Gautam Mahanti, Business Head of Tech Technology. We will start the call with a brief overview of the proposed divestment, which will be followed by a Q&A session. Before we proceed the call, I would like to remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our business risks that could cause future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what we expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Having said that, I will now hand over the call to Mr. K. Balachandran. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Hope all of you can hear me.
Yes.
Good afternoon and welcome to our conference call. Along with me, I have Deepta, I have Vineet Kandoi, and Gautam Mahanti. We are holding this call at a short notice to talk about the proposed divestment of the tax tech business of IRIS. I hope at least a few of you would have seen the exchange filings that we uploaded yesterday night post our board meeting. Now let me give you a quick summary of the proposed divestment of the IRIS tax tech business. The tax tech, or more specifically the GST compliance suite of IRIS, was launched coinciding with the rollout of the nationwide GST mandate in 2017. Over the past 8 years, we have grown to be one of the most trusted and leading providers of the full suite of GST-related compliance solutions to large and medium enterprises. In the previous financial year, FY25, the IRIS tax tech ASP business clocked roughly about 6.35 crores in revenue, 16.35 crores in revenue, while the profits at the segment level came in negative. Now, all of you know that we have multiple lines of businesses, with bulk of the revenues coming from our SupTech and RecTech businesses. The tax tech business is an interesting offering, clearly, but our realization has been that to scale this business, we would need to invest and operate in the global markets as well. At the same time, the RecTech business opportunity is substantial, and to realize its full potential would need both focus and resources. Therefore, we are taking this call to divest the tax tech business and double down on growing the RecTech and SupTech businesses, given the availability of capital coming to us in a non-dilutive manner. If we look at our global competitors in the RecTech business, they do have a substantially higher outlay, deep pockets for sales and marketing and product development expenses. While being in India offers certain advantages, we do see the need to have a bigger balance sheet size to give us a comfort of to spend appropriately in order to build market share and therefore growth. Now, coming to tax tech acquirer, Sovos LLC, which is a US-based tax compliance solutions major. They are one of the leading global tax compliance firms, and Soros and I have IRIS have a relationship going on for a few years. They are a customer as well. We have an excellent equation, and the leadership on both sides are comfortable with each other as well. In fact, the entire diligence process with Sovos, we started maybe about 4 to 5 months ago, happened very smoothly because of the robust governance processes which already exist in IRIS. We are happy that our tax team will be spreading their wings further with Sovos coming in. Now, as far as the transaction is concerned, we are given the details in the exchange disclosures. But let me give you a quick summary. the TaxTech business is being transferred through a business transfer arrangement into IRIS Logix, the subsidiary of IRIS. So also we'll be buying 100% of shares of IRIS Logix. We are holding an EGM on July 26th to get shareholder approval of the business transfer, since this is a material related party transaction. This is our request to you to support the resolutions for the business transfer arrangement. We are very confident that the overall transaction is excellent for the company and will drive value further going forward. With this, let me give the mic back to the moderator. All of us are here to take questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star then one. Our first question comes from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the question. Just want to understand what kind of tax implications this would have, the amount of sale you're doing, what would be the tax outgo?
So this is essentially long-term capital gains tax. So we expect this to be around 14%. Of the, let me say, of the overall transaction value, roughly speaking.
Got it. And but by what time period do you think this would actually come to your balance sheet?
Okay, now, you know, the bulk of the transaction money should coming in by August. There is a small holdback which could come in after some time, which is... you know, so as per the long stop date is October 1st, 2025, but we expect most of the the money to flow in August itself. But we will come back to you once it is done.
Done. So we have been signing a lot of agreements with very various governments in terms of using this data, I believe, for SME-related loans and things like that. Now, what would happen to those contracts, whether it would be... whether it will be honored by the new company or you would actually still have that business to be done by you? How are you thinking about it? And second, what kind of employees, whether there will be something you had mentioned, there is an employee transfer, for potential employee transfer. So how many employees are dedicated and they would actually would go into the new company?
Let me answer the second question first. Roughly about 100 employees would move to the new IRIS Logix, to the new entity into IRIS Logix, which is the vehicle for this business. And these 100 people have been working in the GST business line of IRIS. Now, coming to the first question, there will not be any impact on our IRIS data tech business for two reasons. One is, of course, the kind of data we use for this lending enablement purpose. Part of it is public data and part of it is consent-based data. And both need certain pipe and we have the ability to use the pipe in the main company itself. Over and above that, we do have an agreement with the new acquirer to use some of the software artifacts already in IRIS TaxTech for a seamless experience for the borrower and the lender. So there will not be any impact.
Got it. Have a good back and thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ankit Minosha from Adizi Ventures Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon and congratulations to Balu on the CEO coming on board of the CEO. My question is with regard to, the money that's coming in. Currently, are there any thoughts in terms of when we say growth aspirations, ideas in terms of where we would use this? Would it be SupTech? Would it be RegTech? And, till what time does it give us, say, some sort of growth capital in the bank? And does this mean that we don't need to kind of raise further capital for a long period of time, be it from dilution or from even something like private equity?
Thanks, Ankit. Thanks for, you know, mentioning your, you know, congratulations. Let me answer your question by saying that, firstly, we are very gratified to see value unlocking in one of our businesses. In fact, it also validates what we have been saying for a long time now. One needs patience and time to create and unlock value. But in every single business of ours, we see the same potential for growth or value unlocking. And before we get to the usage of money, I would like to place on record our gratitude to our colleagues in the GST team, led by Gautam, who is here. These are our key assets, the IRIS folks, and they're key stakeholders in the IRIS story as well. And without their effort, these kind of values would not have been created or unlocked. Now, before coming to the, you know, use of money, I should say, because people have been asking in the last couple of calls, what kind of, you know, plans you have. Broadly, I would say our next medium-term target is to be a 500 crore company. We are at about 120, 128, 130 crores. So this is a medium-term target which we have, you know, set for ourselves as a 500 crore company. We believe this is eminently possible, but will require a focus and smart work in each of our remaining businesses. Having said that, I would say the bulk of the resources could be spent on scaling up significantly our enterprise SaaS business. And within that, I would say IRIS Carbon would get bulk of the resources which are to be spent for scaling that particular business. We'll be setting aside a pool of money to bring in solid talent, both within specific business lines and leadership positions cutting across business lines. And these are people who should integrate well in IRIS and work with our current talent pool to drive the next level of growth. Couple of other points I want to make is that, you know, many of you know that for a long time we have made a shift from services to products. We are now shifting our DNA again for our growth to move from product-led growth to sales-led growth. This means much stronger investments in sales and marketing, hiring more folks in our target geographies as well. We are also shifting focus from a compliance-led sales to value-led sales, from a mandate-led sales to, you know, productivity-led sales, productivity boosting, kind of offerings, and also from small enterprise sales to medium and large enterprise sales. And as you all know, we have now offerings from IRIS Carbon to the office CFO and CSO. Early signs are encouraging. We have started unlocking value here, and we see the need to double down and more invest in products to align them with the expectation of large enterprise customers. Therefore, we need to make sure that we also invest in the products. Finally, we need a deep war chest to make this happen, and our balance sheet needs to be stronger so that we can attract the right partners. But we don't see any need for raising more money at this point of time. Our sense is whatever we are getting through this deal should stand us in good stead as we look at growing to our next target, which I already mentioned.
Understood. Yeah. Thanks for that. That's useful. This target that we mentioned, I mean, do we have a time frame in mind that we're looking at? Secondly, my second question was with regard to the impact of the sale on the business. So I believe that the revenues, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the revenues, I think, of the tax tech business were close to 17 to 18 crores, and the EBITDA was close to a negative 3 crore number. Does the impact on the EBITDA and revenue, would it match these numbers, or do you think that the impact could be higher or lower?
You're right. There is a small difference because, it's a GST ASP business which is getting sold at 15.53 crores or so. The GSP part of it is, because we can't transfer the license, still remains with IRIS. So overall, if you look at our balance sheet segment reporting, that's about 17.53 crores. EBITDA level, there won't be much of an impact. In fact, we are running close to a 3 crore loss in the segment reporting level in the tax tech business. So, of course, that is now going to the new entity. Now, what was your first question? I missed that. You said something else.
Yeah, I was saying with regard to the 500 crores aspiration, is there a time scale that you're putting on it?
Yeah, it's an aspiration number. I would say that, you know, 4 to 5 years is what, you know, is in our mind.
Okay, understood. Fair enough. I'll come back in the queue for further questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Amish Kanani from Novice Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congrats on the deal, sir. There's a couple of questions. One, is there any cross-sell opportunities that we had which we might, you know, be missing? You know, few of the brands are common or, you know, they're totally different. So give us some flavor there. And second, you partly addressed the question of how to use money. But there's always a money which comes, which, you know, we can spend on CapEx versus OpEx, you know, and if you spend on the CapEx type of business, the EBITDA margin doesn't affect. But if we spend on marketing, which is, you know, kind of OpEx kind of money, we can, you know, kind of, it may take a temporary hit on our EBITDA margins. So if you can give us some sense of, you know, how are we using this money, maybe it's a bit early, but a thought on that and whether, you know, EBITDA margins that we're posting minus the loss from this division, is it sacrosanct or because of our aspiration, you know, we might want to invest in OpEx kind of opportunity also, which, you know, we may have to kind of bear for a year or so before, you know, we get the growth, you know, levers in place and improve the margins.
When it comes to cross-selling opportunities, we do have the opportunity to partner with Sovos. So I don't see there would be any problems in terms of, you know, working with our, you know, existing GST customers and offering them more from the IRIS main parent company suite. So I don't think there's any problem there. On the EBITDA margin question that you have, how do you, you know, look at OPEX versus CAPEX, etc.? Of course, the sales and marketing infrastructure that we are talking about, including, you know, teams in the target markets, etc., will be, you know, OPEX, and this will be sales-led growth model. So I don't see any escape from, you know, spending that money. There is, of course, the product development part as well. But if you are going to develop features on existing products, we don't normally capitalize that. There are certain accounting rules we follow. So having said that, you know, we would spend aggressively. So this we have mentioned in the past as well. There is a bit of a trade-off between the profits you get from the SupTech business versus the kind of investments you need to make in the enterprise SaaS business. Enterprise SaaS business investments could be at a higher pace in the initial years compared to the SupTech business growth and therefore the higher EBITDA coming from there. That's what I could say at this point of time. But we don't want to hold ourselves back. We'll be aggressive and ambitious as we set out to build scale in the enterprise SaaS business.
Okay. And sir, the last question before I go on the queue. Any sense of, you know, we're very happy to note that, you know, a 15 crore revenue business, you know, giving us more than 100 crore net of tax. How is the valuation done? And whether, you know, we can see our rest of the business having a benchmark, which could be in future much higher than this. Thanks.
So, of course, this kind of deal is an agreed price. And if you can do the reverse match from the numbers that we are given, you'll get a good idea of where the revenue multiples lie. But on the whole, I would say that, you know, we think this is a decent price. And this is more or less in line with global tax tech deals that we have seen. Of course, we are much smaller compared to some of the other deals. But these numbers are not off from those deals. And we see, you know, for a company like IRIS, which is, you know, pretty small, and, you know, this tax business is not making, you know, money. And the other businesses which are growing faster and profitable as well, this kind of valuation multiples, multiples, you know, that you see in tax tech, you know, it's going to be much different. Okay.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ganesh, an investor. Please go ahead.
So, can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great. So, we have been hearing a lot about MSME initiatives lately. So is IRIS carried out MSME app and the related stuff, is that also included in the same?
It is not. The IRIS MSME Peridot app is part of the parent company. It is not going to the acquirer.
Okay. I'm assuming this is a full tax set, or right, not just the GST portion or anything like that.
This is the ASP part of the tax tech business, which would mean the bulk of the enterprise suite for tax compliance is going. The licenses which you can transfer for GST and IRP remain with IRIS. And the tax tech suite that we currently have built is for medium and large enterprises.
Great. And this will also include the Malaysia ASEAN related initiatives that we heard recently. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the Malaysian e-invoicing business would eventually also go to this acquirer.
Great. So just what is the motivation for this sale now? Did we realize that this needs a longer runway to grow as much as our aspiration requires, or Was it just a tactical decision?
It is not a tactical realization. We have, you know, as I mentioned in my initial remarks, we have these 3-4 interesting business lines, and you know, we need to double down and focus on a couple of them to scale. So we thought it's best to scale, focus and scale, and of course, we need resources for that. And we have been talking in the past for raising resources, but we thought to get that combo of focus and resources, it is perhaps better to divest one of the businesses. Not that we were actively looking to divest this. So was a partner with us for a long time, and when the discussion started, then we went along with it, and even Swaminarayan was involved with these discussions. And we always had at the back of mind, if the valuations are good for the shareholders, we could take it and double down on building the tech business.
Got it. Just one or two more questions, sir. How does it affect your current talent pool in IRIS?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Ganesh, sir, may we request you return to the question queue for follow-up questions? There are several other participants waiting for their turn.
Sure. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Shubham Jawar from Dexter Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi, Valu sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I would just like to reiterate on the question that previous participant had raised. So wanted to understand which all businesses have been remaining in the tax tech as of now, and what is the revenue? It's around 1.5 years of revenue on the businesses that remain with us.
Yeah, so the remaining revenue from the GST part of the business, which is an essential pipeline, which is, the pipeline to GSTN, would be about 1.2 crore. Rest of it is going to the acquirer. And as far as, whatever is left with IRIS, Peridot app is with IRIS, and of course the licenses for these two, these two pieces remain with IRIS.
Okay, and sir, in your initial remarks, you had mentioned that most of the money would be coming in via by August or September, right? So, is there any earned out model also for this transaction, or it's purely cash basis?
There is no earn out model, but there is a holdback. There is a small holdback portion, which is linked to a couple of conditions.
So, what are conditions like?
This is essentially related to some of these license related conditions.
Got it. Thank you. That was it from my end.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Neeraj from DAMAC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, are we looking for any other sub-business segments which we might sell off in the coming months as we look to streamline our businesses and focus on the core verticals?
The answer is no.
Understood. And very logically seeing, as we have sold off one of our segments, which was, at the face of it, loss-making. So going forward, our margins should increase, right?
But you should also see that this particular segment, the contribution to the overall turnover also was not that high. Correct. No? So it is not going to be having that significant impact, given the fact that we're also going to grow.
Understood. Those are my only questions. Thank you so much. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Subhash B, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes. Yes, Subhash.
Okay, so the 151 crores that you have mentioned in the letter, right? Will that all be recognized as capital gain, or do you have a cost basis for that, where you show some cost basis and then recognize the gain?
I'll see if we need to get us for this.
Yeah, I mean, there are assets which are going to transfer, so the entire, it won't be the entire 151 on which there will be cash flow, and there is cost of acquisition as well, and there is net asset which are going to get transferred, so which will be factored into. But yeah, considering this is a slump sale, there will be long-term capital gain which will be there, and also the share sale, so that you need to keep in mind.
Yeah, so you said 14% of the overall transaction, right? But it will be 14% of the net capital gain, right?
14% of the net capital gain.
Yeah, well, I mean, out of the 151 crores, what is the capital gain amount? I mean, an estimate also would work, not the exact number.
Okay, okay. So I think it will be close to around
135. Yeah. Okay, my second question was, in the last quarterly call, you also mentioned that you were open to acquisitions, but you did not have any plans right then. Now, with this sale and with this kind of money, do you have any plans for any acquisition or in the initial stages at least?
So, talking about the inorganic route, is it?
Correct. Yeah, right.
Okay. So, I would take at this point of time, from an organic point of view, also there's enough juice in the market. We can go and continue and grow at a good pace. But having said that, having a good balance sheet and having comfort from a liquidity point of view would give us a better leverage while some opportunities come our way.
Got it. So just a continuation with the last question. I mean, you said I think you said you're going to be 500 crore revenue company in the medium term, right? Like, what is the time zone that you're looking at for this?
I think I answered that some time back. I said it's a 100 crores is an aspirational number, and our take is we should be looking at hitting that 4 to 5 years' time.
4 to 5 years. Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question comes from Ankit Minocha from Adeasy Ventures Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up. Just a continuation of the inorganic growth opportunities that earlier participants had asked. Are there usually in segments like SupTech and RegTech, if you were to look at inorganic growth opportunities, are there companies or opportunities available, or is that too niche a market to buy in? My only concern comes in from the fact that now we will also be losing a significant number from our revenue base. So, I mean, to drive growth on the top line, say, even if next year, don't you feel that it might be required to look into some inorganic opportunities as well?
So it's a fair point. So it's not that we'll be oblivious to inorganic opportunities. We have to look at it seriously. We haven't done that so far. So once we look at it seriously at the right time, I think we'll be able to answer this maybe in a more meaningful manner.
Okay, and these say the impact of the reduced sales from this reduced revenue just on paper from these transactions will start reflecting in our P&L by from which quarter?
Yeah, I think you can expect this to from next coming quarter, Q2 onwards.
Right. Thank you. And my second question is with regard to the cost base. So could you help me with what is the cost base of business that is being sold right now in number terms?
The cost base for the GST part? Now, we said that, it is there's a close to a 3 crore EBITDA loss for this business, which is, mentioned in our FY25 results.
So on a revenue of 17 crores, we are looking at a cost base of close to 20 crores. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think that would be a good approximation.
Okay. Sure. Thank you and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question comes from Ganesh, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So how is this fraud valued in our balance sheet today?
The transaction will be reflected in our balance sheet. Is that the question?
That's the question, sir.
So I think the BT will...
If you see the stock exchange disclosure, so the net asset value of the business, which the undertaking which is getting transferred, is close to around 6 crore. So on the balance sheet, yeah, as on 31st March.
Got it. Just one more question from my side. So I'm assuming, just like any software or engineering org, a lot of the 100 people that will be impacted would have worked in other organizations, other sub-orgs or other teams in IRIS also. So how does it impact the talent pool currently in IRIS?
I think it doesn't impact because we have been working with very clearly demarcated, teams. And the entire, GST tax compliance to the team is going to that year. So it is a seamless, transfer, and it's not going to impact our existing business lines.
Okay, no loss of domain knowledge or anything from the team. Okay, great. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Soyam, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead, Soyam.
Yes, sir. So my question was like, sir, I wanted to know your thoughts about the upcoming ESG mandates. So like, how are you seeing these things playing out going forward?
So the ESG mandates, there has been something called, in Europe, there was a small pushback in terms of the number of companies coming into mandate. But we have been, interacting with our prospects, and in conferences, we have been interacting with ESG consultants. So there's clearly a lot of interest from companies, even now, to go ahead and do their ESG reporting. Many companies are doing voluntarily. All listed companies in Europe anyway had to do it. But in terms of the coverage, it's getting paced out. So we feel, the market is still very strong. But there were some, initial, sense in the ESG community that floodgates are going to open. But gates are opening a little more slowly, I would say, the demand gates.
Okay. So, do we have any idea about timeline that these might get into action, like 1 or 2 years going forward?
So I think our solutions are anyway, getting out there in the market, and, we feel gradual pickup. That's what I would say. There's definitely going to be gradual pickup, from this year onwards.
Right. Got it, sir. And sir, my final question is, like, what kind of growth and margin can we look going forward, as we have the funds right now and we are like doubling our courses on subtech and regtech from the funds. So... what are your outlook over these?
I'm afraid that I can't give any guidance. We said what all we have to say in terms of the trajectory we hope to hit, and how do we plan to move on that trajectory.
Okay, got it, sir. So it's like how you have previously stated, so I can assume that, right?
I think you can assume what you feel is most appropriate is what I would say. So we have, we have a particular, plan in mind, and we have voiced that to whatever extent we could during this call.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir. I have another question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Amit Joshi, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity, sir. First of all, and congratulations for the deal. I plan to remain invested with IRIS for a long time to come. Hence, one quick question I had. can I see, is there a rationale behind the constant decrease in the promoter holding quarter on quarter?
I don't think there is any constant decrease in the promoter holding quarter on quarter. There were you know, some ESOPs we had given, so that might have led to some dilution as far as promoter percentage holding is concerned. But in terms of absolute numbers, I don't think there has been any reduction. In fact, you know, Swaminathan's stake has now moved to Deepta, so you know, that also has taken place during this quarter. So we are here to stay, and we want to build value.
Yes, because as an investor, I hope you understand my question.
We understand, fully we understand.
Thank you very much for that one, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rohit Potti, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a great deal. Only one question, sir. Team Iris has gone through a lot together over the last few years, and I believe this team also is a part of it. So just wanted to get your thoughts on any implication on morale with the team going off or with this unit being sold off, or how is the organization as such taking this move?
Maybe I'll get Gautam to give his view on this, and then I can come back.
Hi, Rohit. Thank you for asking the question. I think the morale is pretty high. So if I can say, how's the Jose? Jose is very high because it gives the GST team a good opportunity to expand the wings and the landscape goes beyond India, because Sovos, being a large leader in this space, allows us this opportunity to take our solutions globally, especially in the APAC level. So from that perspective, I think people are all excited, and we see it as a very positive thing that can happen from the team which is moving out. And from Iris, I think we've already spoken about the value that is getting unlocked. Gives it a lot more resources to focus on the core strategic business areas.
Yeah, from Iris' point of view, of course, we are, sorry to see our folks move out, at least from a sentiment point of view. But everyone is upbeat because, they have the ability now to look at a much bigger market and work with, work with a team which has done, implementations across many countries. And from our point of view, we do have now the freedom and the means to build our business in a much more, a meaningful, significant manner.
Yeah, thank you. That's it all from my end on this. And all the best to the Gautam and his team for the journey ahead. And thanks for everything that you guys have done for Iris. So thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rohit. And I'm definitely going to miss your questions in the investor call.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I got dropped off a bit. So when you actually did this process, just how long it took, and how did you identify this particular entity? And just if you can just explain the process, it will be helpful. And if you've already explained, then maybe I'll take it from the transcript later on.
No, it's fine. I think, Ellen, we can quickly tell you, how this happened. So what has been a partner and customer with us for 6 years now. So in fact, some of their clients, their MNC clients, use the Iris pipe to file the GST returns. And they have been, working with us, and there are interactions at different levels from Iris and Sovos. The relations are really good. So this, this kind of, thing came up, I would say, when we had gone to Malaysia and started our business there. They saw how nimble and how quick we were to, introduce our platform in the Malaysian market. And they were not in the APAC area. And when we got talking, then, they were discussing at the strategic level how to come to the APAC region. This is what we hear, you know, this is hearsay, of course. And then we got talking, and this, you know, this went from one thing to another. And I would say, you know, it sort of accelerated over the last 5 months, the whole discussion, all the you know, interactions and the diligence process, etc. We could, you know, complete it fairly fast because we have good processes, and, you know, there were no worries on those fronts.
They had known you for the last 6 years, so it was quick, what do you think?
Correct. They knew us, you know, from the GST solutions point of view for quite a number of years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you kind of compare it with any other offers you had, or is it only one offer you went ahead with?
There was one informal, you know, informal interaction with an Indian fintech company. So, of course, you know, that was at the level we were comfortable with. That also happened in a, you know, informal manner, in the sense because, you know, there are friends and, you know, there's a network, and from there we did hear this. But there's much better synergy here because this is, you know, this is more or less in the same business, and, you know, there's a way to scale, you know, in a sizable manner.
Got it. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming in good numbers. Such a short notice. We hope we have been able to answer your questions properly. So as usual, we are here at the next conference call, awaiting your questions, and we hope that we can have further meaningful interactions. Thank you so much. Good evening. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Iris Business Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.